Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Hashtag Miranda Show. I am your Hashtag Queen of Soft Style. I am the Twitterless heroine herself, Miranda Morales. Thank you for joining me on another edition. I think we're up to 17. I lost count. All the editions. We have a lot out there of the Hashtag Miranda Show, and each one keeps getting better. So thank you if you are a continuing listener. Welcome if this is your first time. You found the jewel of the internet. This is my podcast where I talk about my thoughts on professional wrestling, news, and also random things in life, as you'll be able to get a really, you know, quickly acclimated to my randomness. But it's all good because I'm very happy that you're listening. And I mean, we're like practically friends, you know? I mean, you know me. I don't know you, but I could get to know you, though I'm not on social media, ergo the Twitterless heroine stuff. Yeah, I am not on Twitter, but this show is part of the Chair Shot Radio Network, and the Chair Shot is on social media. You can find the Chair Shot on Twitter at chairshot.com or at thechairshot.com, one of those. Greg will come in later and correct me. But you can go to thechairshot.com to get all of your latest wrestling news, analysis, and opinions, the best on the internet. There's lots of articles that you can read. And this is part of the Chairshot Radio Network, so there's other podcasts that you can listen to. All of them, you know, really, really good. This is kind of the random one. This is kind of the one that's a little out of place, but in a good way. When you want something maybe a little bit more lighthearted, your nights, days, whenever you decide to listen to this, I'm your girl. I'm your gal. You can also support the Chair Shot by buying one of their lovely, lovely t-shirts. As the hashtag queen of soft style, I have to promote the soft style t-shirts available online. You can go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. And you can find a whole plethora of t-shirts available. Lots of cool designs, lots of cool colors, and of course, t-shirts in soft style. And what do I mean by soft style? I mean very comfortable, relaxed, well-fitting clothing that you can wear anywhere. You can wear it to the gym. You can wear it out, you know, to work maybe if you have a casual dress code. You know, I don't know where you work, but if they do, then it's a great t-shirt to wear. Maybe out on a date. Maybe, you know, the person you're with says, hey, that's a Chair Shot t-shirt, and then you should marry them because they recognize that that's a Chair Shot shirt. I mean, what else is there to know? But I don't do this alone. This would literally be me rambling for an hour. I do have a co-host. He is the host of the Greg DeMarco Show that we record right before this. You may have seen him on Twitter. He may have pissed you off on Twitter, which happens. It's a thing he does. But I'd like to introduce Greg DeMarco.
Mandy. I have not been pissing enough people off lately. Like, I just haven't been able to, simply because I'm just too busy. Just too busy to piss people off on Twitter. It'll come back.
Yes. It will. I mean, he's maybe taking a little hiatus, kind of like a summertime vacation from pissing people off, but I have a feeling that you'll come back to it.
Yeah, the first time you started that by saying he's taking a hiatus. Like, as if I'm not here, but it's me in the third person.
Yes. I mean, like, well, you're taking a pissing people off hiatus.
Maybe. I'm okay with that. You know, I am. Whether it's on purpose or not, I am doing that. So, yeah, you nailed it. Did you ever watch the show Nailed It?
Yes, I have. Okay. And that's pretty much all my cooking skills. I literally did a cookie decorating activity at work during Christmas time. One of our staff members is a like cookie decorator extraordinaire, and so she decided to put on a little workshop for the rest of us. My cookie was literally like everyone had a great cookie, very nicely decorated. Mine was the Nailed It cookie. like very distinctly terrible in its design and the execution, the whole thing. So I even took a picture of someone else's cookie that was really nicely decorated and mine, and just captioned it, nailed it.
Did people know what you meant?
Oh, yeah. 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 I mean, everyone knows it, nailed it. Or Pinterest fail. That's another kind of, you know, terminology for it, which I've also wandered on the internet to find Pinterest fails, because that's where you get the inspiration. You go on Pinterest, you find something, you think you can pull it off, and you fail spectacularly.
We joke so much about how you don't have Twitter, you don't have Instagram, you are on Facebook. Do you have a Pinterest?
Oh, I do have a Pinterest.
Okay. That's all I had. I think I may have signed up for one at some point because people were like, use Pinterest to promote things. But yeah, I never did.
No.
So I probably have an account.
Unless you're advertising towards females for anything. I don't know a lot of men who have Pinterest boards. But, of course, lots of women do for lots of different reasons. I know teachers are big on it, people who do makeup, fitness, cooking. There are some wrestling Pinterest boards. I have stumbled upon those.
Right.
And those are pretty cool.
So, see, there you go. Maybe I'm missing the boat. That's like the magic formula that we need to be
successful. Want me to run the Chair Shots Pinterest board, we can talk. I feel like I'm pretty qualified for that.
Okay. I knew you're qualified for something. It's taken me a while to figure out what I thought it was podcasting. Maybe it's Pinterest.
Well, that too.
Yeah.
I can do both. I just don't, like, I'm not giving up the show to dedicate my life to Pinterest boards.
So if you had to choose the show or Pinterest, which one would you take?
I would choose this show. Can I get like an hour a day on Pinterest? Like, how can we negotiate some Pinterest time?
An hour a day? That's a lot of Pinterest.
Oh, rabbit holes, my friend. Rabbit holes.
Man, I guess so.
So many rabbit holes.
I guess I get it. You know, well, I get it.
You guys know how to party.
Party on Pinterest.
That's the next one.
We talked on during my show, you know, one of the questions, because it was show pre, was would you eliminate social media? You know, that includes Pinterest.
Well, that was, if you listen to the Greg DeMarco show, you'll find my answer. And I mean, I'll say it now just because of the context of the question was no, I wouldn't get rid of social media, even though it can be really perilous and dark and sometimes mean. I still love it. And then especially Pinterest. I really stand firm on my answer if Pinterest is included in that, to no, not get rid of social media. Pinterest is a good space for creativity and fails. Yeah,
I don't disagree. I mean,
just Google it. It
I
just makes you
it,
smile.
Yeah. I get it.
Do you
agree? I do. I get it.
I'm just going to have to sit down and just give you a Pinterest tutorial one time.
We have so many things planned that will add Pinterest tutorial to the list.
That is true. But I'm just saying, if that's an area you want to explore, I'm your gal. I'm your person.
I don't know if I want to explore it. I don't know what would be more rewarding, using Pinterest after learning about it or the actual experience of having you teach me about it. I'm pretty confident that the second one would be amazingly fun. I don't know how much it would be used then after. But I'm willing to put in time to find out.
Hey, teach a man to fish. And I forgot the rest of that quote. So
doesn't matter because we're fishing. We're Pinterest.
Yeah, doesn't
is that a verb? Can I make that a verb? Is Pinterest a verb? Like, I remember when Facebook became a verb. So, yeah.
Well, and speaking of the craziness of the internet, I was going to hold off on this subject, but I mean, clickbait, you can put this too in the description of the show, but I just recently learned about this whole fad of Area 51.
Yeah.
I don't know. Are you familiar with it, Greg?
I've seen a lot. People want to storm Area 51 or something like that.
Yes.
It's just, yeah.
It started off as a Facebook group. So this is where my Facebook knowledge comes in handy. It started off as a Facebook group of people who want to attend this quote-unquote event of storming Area 51 to see, quote-unquote, them aliens. But I'm serious. That's how it's been quoted. We want to see them aliens. Verbatim. That's what it's about. And it's essentially, it's for September 20th at the Area 51 Alien Center, about 90 miles outside of Las Vegas. And it's just blown up. Like a million people have RSVP'd for this event. And now it's meme city. All the memes about Area 51, but there's some good ones out there, especially the wrestling ones. I really do appreciate how this has come into wrestling culture.
Of course.
I mean, if you have any really good Area 51 memes out there, send them to me on Facebook or Greg on Twitter. Greg, can you tell our lovely listeners where they can find you on social media so they can tweet at you all the Area 51 memes?
They can find me at Chairshot Greg. That's WRESTLNGREAIST. That's at Chairshot Greg. That's funnier than I thought it was going to be honest with you.
Patrick's going to have so many followers after this. And yeah,
sending him Area 51. Oh,
send him all the Area 51.
I am. I'm going to tweet it right now.
Please
do myself.
The best
myself.
Wrestling Area 51.
Hashtag Miranda a big favor and send at Wrestling Realist your best Area 51 memes. Hashtag Area 51 memes. Because that's the first one.
We just broke
out
the internet.
Just broke Patrick's internet. Boom! Tweet. Can't wait till he gets up in the morning because you know his old ass
is
already
bad. This is going to be
like
awkward quick. Patrick's going to be like, what in the hell?
I'm going to get a message tomorrow. Old man O'Dowd is going to be like, why'd you do that, man? So, yeah. It's going to be good shit. Such
yeah,
good shit.
I mean, I have not heard Area 51 in any promo yet, but if R-Truth does
it's
not
coming.
Incorporate Area 51 in any of his promos in the upcoming weeks, this is a wasted opportunity.
But he's got to do it like – he's going to have to call it something else, like not Area 51, but he'll get it wrong on purpose. So that'll have to be his –
yeah.
His thing. He'll have to get it wrong on purpose. Because that's what he does. You know, it'll
oh,
be
yeah.
like Area 53 or something like that.
53. Still, I mean, the fact that I have not heard any of this yet in WWE programming, it's a little disappointed. Because they take every other pop culture reference and they do something terrible with it. Here's a terrible reference that, I mean, what's the worst you could do? And you know, make it relevant.
But they're also behind the times usually. Like, they'll do Area 51 in like a month when no one else is talking about it.
Nobody cares about Area 51. That's a good point.
Yeah. Oh, here it comes. So they'll whereas it'll be on Being the Elite this week. They'll be talking about going to Area 51, but it'll be dumb.
I skimmed through Being the Elite this week. So I didn't really, listen to all the whole thing. But, yeah, I didn't hear anything about Area 51. But hopefully in the next few weeks it comes out. And then people will say that they stole it from, you know, WWE stole it from AEW, which means there's a war happening. This is a conspiracy theory on top of a conspiracy theory, Greg.
Ooh.
Do you know what you just put out there?
Like double conspiracy theory? Like, you know what I also put out there? A chance for me to play a soundbite. You know, they could be storming Patrick O'Dowd's Twitter with Area 51. Like, that's what it could be. Hashtag storm Patrick O'Dowd's Twitter. I'm literally updating your show description as we do the show this week. That's what I'm doing.
Of course. Yeah, this is where the randomness part comes in. And,
but I've never done like that before. But this week I am.
Hey, and you know, the creativity, this just comes out. That's just, you know, how I work. My best stuff
comes on
the fly.
And then later, like towards the end of it, we can actually decide which one of these items is the name of the show. Like, obviously,
fair
it's
enough.
An hashtag Miranda show, but then which one comes after the colon or the semicolon. I always mix.
Fair enough. Well, I brought up being the elite, all elite wrestling. I do want to talk about some wrestling just because we had a packed weekend of wrestling shows. On Saturday, we had the Evolve 10th Anniversary Show, AEW's Fight for the Fallen, and then on Sunday, we had Extreme Rules. I'm not going to go into super detail about it, just because we don't have enough time. That's a lot of wrestling to talk about, but I really want to talk about some of the things I noticed or just things that were highlights for me. I'll start off with AEW just because we were on the topic of that. We had Fight for the Fallen, and this show was very different. I felt from Fighter Fest and Double or Nothing. This felt like what maybe a house show style or just kind of a B brand, you know, pay-per-view would look like on a casual basis. There was some really good wrestling, though, and I think what people expect out of AEW with the quality of wrestling, that was done overall pretty well. Some matches, of course, were better than others, and some worked pretty more surprisingly than I thought. One was the 3-on-3 match early on with Jimmy Havoc, Darby Allin and Joey Janela versus MJF, Sean Spears, and Sammy Guevara. I thought this match really highlighted Sammy's skills well. MJF got to shine by being booed. The fans were excited to have Darby Allin in the ring and Jimmy Havoc. Sean Spears got some great heat, and with him getting the win in this match, I think it really does help catapult him as a heel moving forward. I was kind of surprised by the three-way tag team match with the Dark Order, Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus and the Best Friends. There were some great spots, even though I wasn't really familiar with everyone in the match. I thought there was some great spots. I wasn't a huge fan of the Kip Sabian and Hangman Page match. I think I've just not invested in the people in this match, and that's tough because Hangman Page is, you know, going into a title match for the heavyweight championship in August, and I'm just not very invested in him. So that can be a problem along the, you know, further down the line. And again, all of the matches were athletically really good. But it was also hard for me to feel a little bit invested in individual people and storylines because I just felt like these matches didn't have a lot of continuity. And I know that's, you know, there's no weekly show yet. It did a good job of putting certain people over and establishing them in certain roles. But, you know, there was also some elements to me as a fan that I just didn't quite connect with. Greg, what was kind of your perception of Fight for the Fallen?
You know, it's funny that you bring it up the way you do, where it's a house show, a little bit different. I actually enjoyed this one more than the other shows. Like, to me, I thought that this was their best one so far, in my opinion. And you know, got a lot more enjoyment out of it. I feel like Fighter Fest was just had a lot of goofy shit in it. Like, it really wasn't a good show for me. And Double or Nothing was just this big old. I mean, they still did the stupid promo at the end. Yeah, they were giving money, but it was still very self-serving, which, you know, it's their show, so whatever. And they did a lot of that in Double or Nothing. But I don't know. I actually enjoyed Fight for the Fallen the most out of the three shows that they've done so far. And I guess it felt to me like hopefully what their TV is going to be like, because they can't do all these main event matches. So you got to have some more of the mid-card matches and big names against lower level names and stuff on TV. And so to me, this felt more like what they should do. It's another plus that they had a different kind of arena at Daly's Place, which I really love the amphitheater setup. You know, I've been harping on it for a while. Like, I hate the big stage in the end of the bowl. Like, I've been begging for people to change it up. And obviously this type of building forced them to change it up, although they could have just put an entryway on the stage. But I dug that because it felt different, and I've been begging for people to do something that feels different for what feels like a year now. And so, yeah, I actually, to me, if I were to rank the three shows, I'd put this number one out of the ones they've done so far.
And it's funny you talk about the setup, because Tony Khan went on Twitter to talk about his inspiration for the setup, which was actually from an episode of South Park, where the kids create their own wrestling federation called WTF. And he put a picture side by side on the arena setup in the show to what they did. And it's kind of it's just really a funny way to be inspired, but I agree. Mm-hmm. That setup was really innovative. It wasn't this big entrance ramp that we're so used to from WWE. It was a really logical setup. I think they had really good camera angles, and it was just something different. And we're also starting to see a bit of their identity with that setup, that we know AEW is going to have this particular feel or these particular elements when it comes to their setup as far as the lights and the tunnel, but yet the actual seating arrangement was very different. And I think that is a really unique aspect of the company. And if they kind of switch that up with all the other venues, one, it can definitely maximize their capacity, but two, it really gives fans a unique, visual view of the ring, and just adds to some of the other creative elements that they may do in future shows. So I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, I saw that, and it's kind of funny that that's his inspiration. Like, that tells you a lot. But it's because they could have shot it could have shot it towards the stage, which would have looked very similar to what most wrestling companies look like. Shooting it from the stage would have been interesting, because even though you're shooting it towards the crowd, the amphitheater looks very different. And when they did shoot towards the amphitheater seating, it looked very different. Yeah, I dug that because it was different. And I've done it on your show, I've done it on our show. I've been begging for something different in terms of the look and feel of a wrestling event. So that definitely helped me. But what didn't make or break the show? It's kind of an add-on, even though I'm harping on it so much. I actually just enjoyed the show in general. I liked the wrestling. Even, I felt like it was less self-serving. I loved the match between Kip Sabian and Adam Page, actually. It was slower because they were going the 19 minutes, and Page wrestles a slower style anyway. But a lot of people were upset about the booking of that match. They didn't feel as though Kip Sabian should have pushed Adam Page to the limit. I thought it showcased Kip Sabian very well, because you knew he was losing. Like Adam Page wasn't going to lose when his next match for the company is the main event of the pay-per-view that's coming up next month. So you knew that he had to win, but it did so in a very good way, and I thought it put Kip Sabian over. I think Kip Sabian's a star for that company in the long run. And I think he could do great things. And so that was even my favorite match of the night. My favorite match of the night was Kenny Omega versus Shima. I thought back to, so all three shows that they've put on so far, my favorite match of the night, first show was the 6-man tag between Strong Hearts and SCU. Second show was Christopher Daniels versus Shima. This show was Kenny Omega versus Shima. I think maybe Shima's my favorite wrestler, and I just don't
watch. Yeah, there's a theme in there.
There's a theme. And he's fantastic. And I just think he's like one of the unsung heroes, along with Christopher Daniels, of AEW. And I've been a big fan of both guys previously to that, but they're just really getting their chance to shine, even in the twilight of their careers. So all in all, I enjoyed it. I thought the tag match, I'm just not a Young Bucks fan, and all this prominence that they're getting through AEW is making me less of a Young Bucks fan. It's just too contrived for me. And so I didn't even love the main event. I know they want to prove tag team wrestling can be in the main event. I think they may prove themselves wrong in the long run, what they're doing. But overall, I enjoyed it the most out of the three shows so far, like I said.
Well, and I'm reviewing the Times, and this is actually from Andrew's article from the ratings and analysis of AEW Fight for the Fallen that you can find on thechairshot.com, noticing that the length of the matches were longer for people who are a little bit more involved in AEW, as in Hangman and Kenny and, you know, the Young Bucks and Cody all had the longest matches. Now, I think some fans may perceive that as them, you know, taking up a lot of the spotlight a lot of the time. Is that something you agree with, or are you kind of on the other side about that, that they should, you know, their matches need that much more time?
And I'm glad you said that, because I wasn't sure exactly what you were asking. But I think that let me back that up, and I'm going to do this, and you'll know why I do it before I do it. What do you think?
I don't think it's necessary for, and I know you don't like that word necessary, but
oh, I think in the context you're about to use,
pattern. At least we've had three shows, and they have continuously had longer matches than others on the card. And so it is setting up a little bit of a precedent that their matches are just going to get more time. And I don't always think that it's necessary for their matches to have that much time. Now, I know it's because of the athleticism and the spots that they do plan are very intricate and detailed, and you need time to build up to that. But I don't think it's something that's sustainable. I do think every so often they're going to need to have shorter matches in order to allow a lot more time for other matches. Like you mentioned, they ran over, and the last few minutes, you kind of lost the meaning behind the event, which was something that they were fairly passionate about, but it was really hardly mentioned or talked about throughout the entire night. So I felt like some of the message was lost in there because they didn't have enough time to do kind of that big ending with everyone in the check in the end. So I think it's okay every now and then, but my hope is that that changes once they're on TV and they're producing more pay-per-views.
I think it's definitely a multi-layered question that you bring up, because you can look at it as, you know, they're giving themselves a spotlight. They started this company at, you know, the two options were either start their own thing or go to WWE. And they obviously didn't think WWE was going to use them properly. They've made so much about this, other than about WWE. And there. So I'm not surprised that they're putting themselves in such a prominent position. I mean, I've seen it so many times. Like, I know a person here in the state of Arizona who was so upset with how they were booked. They started more than once just to sell. And every time they did that the group they started didn't last long. So it's, you know, interesting how it happened and how that went in the long run. But that's what I'm going at. So I just got to imagine. It's hard for you to hear me.
Yeah, you're breaking up, so I didn't even hear what you had to say. But it doesn't matter, because we're moving on. Two, Evolve 10th Anniversary Show. That is something I did watch on the network. I have to admit, I did watch Fight for the Fallen first. I watched that live, and then watched Evolve later on, the next day. And I have not watched a lot, if not any Evolve before, primarily on YouTube. So I myself was unfamiliar with the product, but I thought that this event was put together really, really well. The beginning with everyone in the ring and kind of seeing where some of the tensions lied, I don't know why, but it brought me almost to like a WCW Nitro opening. I don't even remember if that ever happened, but just doing something different with an opening is something that I really appreciated. And after that, just the way that they went into that first match with Josh Briggs and Anthony Green, and then so on and so forth. I mean, every match was solid. every match had a story to tell. The way that they did the video packages to help set up the stories and introduce the wrestlers, I thought was done amazingly. I felt like I could get into these matches fairly quickly. And, I mean, the athleticism was awesome. I mean, there are some really talented, skilled wrestlers. And you got different matches. I know the Arturo Ruas and Anthony Henry match was a little bit more, you know, a fighting style match. Whereas in some of the other matches, you got more spots and flips. You know, it just felt like you had different matches for different people. And, I mean, if you couldn't find something you were drawn to, like if you had a hard time connecting with this show, I don't know if you have a pulse, because how could you not? Even the women's match, and I have to admit, I have a bias because I love Shotzi Blackheart. I think she is just such a cool performer. She's great. She's fearless. So what she did in that match did not surprise me. Because she really wrestles with a lot of heart, but also kind of this ability to not care about what happens to her. So I was not surprised by what I saw, but I thought even that match was done pretty well. So I really was drawn to Evolve. I thought the show was done really well, and I was happy with every match, even the short match. What was it? Colby Carino and Baba Tunde?
Tunde.
Yeah, that one was short, but, you know, effective when you're trying to get a big man over. So, and to have this platform, or to have it on the WWE Network, I'm sure, you know, there are thousands. I don't think hundreds, thousands of people who discovered Evolve because of this event. I think that this really has elevated independent wrestling bigger and bigger ways than AEW has, because it's truly still an independent promotion that is working with WWE, but also, you know, the way that they've told their stories and put together their matches, you know, they're still going to be an independent promotion. They're still going back to kind of their regular shows after this. Who knows if they'll continue to work with the WWE every so often to have other shows, but it's a huge deal when you have another independent promotion on the WWE Network live, like not stuff that's 20 years ago, like live. It can really help this company grow and get some visibility that is unprecedented. So overall, I enjoyed the show and think that this could be something really big for Evolve in the future.
It's funny you bring that part up about if they continue to work with WWE and the network, because Gabe Sapolsky has openly said, like, without the support of WWE, Evolve wouldn't still exist. I know there's some financial support there. He worked for NXT as well, so that's it. I didn't love everything. There were things that I enjoyed. The spot fest I didn't love. The women's match was good, but like I don't need to see some of those spots, like diving head first into chairs. I don't need to see in 2019, especially when that could have gone really bad because it wasn't a very good dive. It was really, and it might have been worse because of her dive was so bad. But I think it was more bad than good. I mean, whenever you put Adam Cole on the show, I'm going to be happy. If you knew like, that wasn't a jeopardy, I really enjoyed. And I thought there's a lot of good, and you can kind of see some people who they're eventually going to take, and we'll see how that goes in the long run. But yeah,
we will see. And then we ended the weekend with WWE Extreme Rules, and that show I didn't get to watch as much. I think my wrestling watchling kind of just declined a bit over the weekend, not on purpose, not because I don't like WWE or their product or the pay-per-view. It was just time, because then you have to catch up with other shows. But overall, it was actually a fairly solid show. It was a huge card. They announced several matches kind of last minute. I was surprised that Shinsuke Nakamura and Finn Balor were on the pre-show instead of on the actual card. to have a title like that not be the cruiserweight title on the pre-show, or the tag team titles be on the pre-show. That was a pretty big deal, but it left a lot of excitement, a lot of changes. You have Shinsuke Nakamura as the new Intercontinental Champion, the New Day as new tag champions, and then the ending. Going back a little bit, the match between Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins versus Baron Corbin and Lacey, Evans, that ended up better than I expected. And maybe I had just low expectations for it because it was a bit of a mess as far as the stipulation. But I thought that the execution was okay. I did enjoy some of the tandem things that they did, especially like Becky and Seth doing kind of the tandem king shots. It still was messy. I think it was just more waiting with bated breath to have this end. I was just more excited that when the 1-2-3 happened, it was this finale of we're done with Seth and Baron and we're done with Becky and Lacey. But the cash-in of the Money in the Bank by Brock Lesnar, that was completely unexpected. I was one who heard Paul Heyman's promo earlier in the week and said, well, that's genius. He's setting up, something that won't happen, but using history to say, well, it could because he's been right before. But I did not think it was going to happen at Extreme Rules at all. I thought they were going to wait. But now in hindsight, looking what they're trying to build up to SummerSlam, it actually makes a lot of sense that the cash-in happened now to build up to a program at SummerSlam or just later on in the summer. And I do believe that Seth is better in the chase. He always has been better in the chase. As champion, other than when he was a heel champion, I think that being a face champion in some ways is hard for him because he still does – he has heelish tendencies that he'll pull out, but also kind of – it doesn't make him as interesting. I feel like this title run, especially in the past month or so, has really been held up by just being a co-champion with Becky. They're the best. They're the champions. It's almost like an accessory and not necessarily something that he's defending or something that he's – that he has and he's this top dog. It's kind of weird. So I'm not mad at the cash in, and I can understand fans who are upset about having a part-time champion again. But I also think that's just the way, especially WWE will continue to utilize Brock, that he's going to be the special attraction. He's going to come in every so often. And we never even, let's be honest, we didn't really believe in the Universal Championship to begin with. It has been crapped on since the day it was shared, announced, with the way that it looked, with the title. Like, no one took it seriously anyways. So it already had a uphill battle. And everything that's happened with all the changes, Brock was not the person, he had a big part, but not like the only element as to why people don't take the Universal Championship seriously. But I do think whoever defeats Brock again will be shot to the moon. And Greg, you talked about kind of an interesting theory about who it is, at least, or who it's not. Or who it's not. But Greg had mentioned that it's obviously not Seth who will beat Brock for it, even though he did win the Battle Royal this week, that long-term, it could be somebody else that wins that title from Brock. And when they do, it will catapult their career into the stratosphere. So if they play it wisely, then it really could help someone's career. But again, understandably, it's when and if they decide to let it go. And at this point, it looks like we we are going through some of the same old, same old. But overall, still, Extreme Rules was a solid show. A lot of matches, but overall, a pretty well put together show. Now, I do want to talk about something that we talked about on the show several weeks ago, and it was actually booking forward. It was a segment that, or booking backwards, I believe I called it. I don't know the title of my segments. I'm not going to lie. Not that I don't care about my segments. It was the first and at this point only time we had done it, but I believe it was actually called Booking Backwards, where we had gotten some announcements from the venue of Extreme Rules in Philadelphia as to what matches were going to be occurring. And there was three in particular that Greg and I discussed. And I want to go back to that because I know sometimes fans are upset when matches get announced ahead of time. But going back to what matches were quote unquote announced for Extreme Rules, it definitely is a case of card may change. And also, maybe it's the intention of WWE to kind of swerve, to make you believe one storyline is going to happen and something completely different happens. For example, one of the matches advertised for Extreme Rules originally was Roman and Randy. And we haven't even seen, you know, Randy in the picture very often. He was on Raw this week, but on a more consistent basis, he has not been on either show. That was something that did excite me at the time because I thought it was going to be a great feud for Roman and something that could really help him towards, you know, maintaining that babyface image. But we were nowhere close to that during Extreme Rules. Another one that was originally advertised was AJ Styles and Drew McIntyre. Again, something that definitely could have been interesting, but was nowhere near what we got during Extreme Rules. There was advertised Seth versus Baron, which we did kind of get, but I don't think any of us would have been able to guess what that match ended up looking like in a million years, just because of how detailed and a little bit complicated it was. So it's just another case of you don't always have to read everything or believe everything that you read. And maybe WWE is putting these things out there to kind of swerve you, to mislead you. Greg, what are your thoughts on when WWE puts something out? For example, they're doing the tapings for Madison Square Garden soon, and they have already kind of published some matches. We're not sure if those are the matches that are planned, that are even intended, and maybe are there to swerve us. But also WWE wants to have something out there to draw fans. What are your thoughts on when WWE puts things out? And do you think in any way that it's meant to mislead fans?
Well, and let me know if you can hear me, but the Extreme
Rules card.
Okay. So I'm on the phone now, but the Extreme Rules card was very much, it was interesting when it was released, you know, publicly through their, you know, through their channels. And there were things that didn't happen that were kind of out there, and who knows why. I mean, sometimes they just have to put something out for the arenas. And with the Raw stuff, a lot of times the advertised Raw and SmackDown occurrences are dark matches, dark match main events, and that sort of thing. And it wouldn't surprise me if they do some big stuff for the Madison Square Garden shows that you talked about. But yeah, sometimes those things change. With Extreme Rules, I think the whole Baron the whole Seth and Becky thing just took off to the point where they wanted to, you know, strike while the iron was hot, so to speak. They probably had this Brock Lesnar cash-in planned for a while at Extreme Rules so they could build the SummerSlam with it. Brock has a proven ratings draw. The ratings this week kind of support that as well, and it's just always done well with Brock Lesnar in a prominent position. So I think that's where we are and where WWE is in that respect. So I think the changes, yeah, I was excited about Roman versus Randy. I think we'll get it at some point, but I'm also excited with what they seem to be doing with Randy now. So
then I missed some of what you were talking about with Extreme Rules outside of that match. So I don't know if there was another thing that you posed that I need to cover since, you know, we were
having a technical problem. When we did Booking Backwards, and this was probably over a month ago, we talked about three different matches that were originally advertised: Roman versus Randy, AJ versus Drew, and Seth versus Baron, and how those initial announcements was pretty much nowhere near what we got, but that's okay. Go ahead.
I think it was better what we got. The show itself was a really good show, and some people consider it to have been better than Fight for the Fallen, especially those who think critically and not after drinking Kool-Aid. But for me, it's you know, you also got to look at the changing of the guard, so to speak. With Paul Heyman is already in place running the Raw side of things, Eric Bischoff has not yet been in place until probably this week, if he even is yet, running the SmackDown side of things. So there's a lot of things in flux and a lot of changes that could be made outside of when some of these, you know, matches were advertised and revealed. And I think we did that Booking Backwards like 2 months ago when some of those things were revealed. Like, I think it's been some time. I think when we did the Booking Backwards, we didn't even have reports about Heyman and Bischoff yet. So
correct, yeah. This was done on May 7th.
So, yeah, you're talking,
you know, 2 months ago.
2 months ago.
So, yeah.
That's big,
good,
and it's a lot of things that change.
Yeah, good points. Good points about, you know, card subject to change. That's just the way it is.
Definitely. And it worked out for the better.
And I agreed. I think it did work out for the better. During Extreme Rules, there was an announcement about a special edition of Raw that's going to be happening next week called Raw Reunion. Apparently, it is going to be the biggest reunion of former WWE superstars to happen in one event. And they started by revealing a huge list of people who are already confirmed for this Raw reunion show, and it's a plethora of people. Of course, Stone Cold was one of the first people mentioned. You have Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, Shawn Michaels, Razor Ramon, Diesel, Kurt Angle, Sergeant Slaughter, Christian, Ted DiBiase, Eric Bischoff, which will be interesting, The Boogeyman, Jimmy Hart, The Hurricane, Santino Marella, Jerry Lawler, Devon Dudley, Booker T, and X-Pac, and then more names have been added. Apparently, it's grown to like 30-some people, and that's just confirmed. I'm sure they may be adding more people to this list, but one of the reasons I wanted to bring it up is because I am a nostalgia mark. I grew up in the Attitude Era. I believe it is the best period of wrestling, and of course, a lot of us will believe the era that we grew up in is the best. So I am part of that fandom, and I love nostalgia. I love and also the interaction between the new and the old. And sometimes they've done it really well, and sometimes they kind of missed the mark on it, or just had people come on stage, Raw 25, with all the women, instead of them actually interacting with superstars. So I'm very excited for it, but it also may be a little overwhelming. Even though Raw is 3 hours, I mean, right now, logistically, it would be having 10 superstars somehow featured during every hour of Raw in order to kind of make it even. And of course, some are going to be featured more heavily than others, but it's a lot of people to fit in. And to me, I'd rather have my Raw reunion be more intentional. I don't want people just to show up on stage and wave. I want them to be interacting with the younger talent, to be part of spots and skits and segments. So I'm excited, but I'm also going into this with caution because it's a lot of people to fit in, even though it is 3 hours. And I'm not feeling fully confident in WWE's ability to do this well. Greg, what are your thoughts about next week's Raw reunion?
I mean, when we, you know, when they did the 25th anniversary edition of Raw, which is, of course, from two different venues, and there were a lot of issues there, there were some people that were prominently featured, other people that did what you said, and they came to the stage and waved. And I think that's okay for this type of show. I love how everybody's talking about how it's a ratings ploy, and then this was one of the USA Network's ideas that they pitched at WWE, which is hilarious because WWE does one of these almost yearly, where they have this kind of reunion type show and special edition of Raw, whether it's old school Raw, no matter what it does, they tend to cart this out almost once a year. So it's easy to say that, but some of these people will just come out and, like, I don't care that much about Devon Dudley that he has to come out and do something, you know, especially when Bully Ray's not going to be there. So I'm okay if he comes out and waves, you know. I don't want to see the Boogeyman do more than eat worms backstage. You know, what's Kelly Kelly going to do really on the show? Like, is she going to take on Becky Lynch? She's probably going to team with Becky Lynch. Who knows? But yeah, there's just so many people that are listed. And like, we've seen Road Dogg a million times. We don't need to see him again. So yeah, some of these names, I'm okay with them just waving because I don't want them to do much more. But WWE is going to have them come out and wave because they want to advertise as big of a list as possible. So that's, to me, that's just, I guess I've accepted it and I'm okay with it because I think I don't worry about things that I don't think are going to affect the overall quality of the show. I mean, some people come out and wave and I'm fine with that. Come out and wave. Other people will get involved. I just hope it's the right people that do those things, that the right people come out and wave and the right people. Like, look, Santino Morella's on the list. I saw a recent picture of him. He's in fantastic shape. I kind of hope he wrestles a match. Like, I would be much more happy to see Santino Morella wrestle a match than, say, Devon Dudley or Hulk Hogan. So it's you know, different things for different people, I guess.
Very true. And I like what you mentioned about just the variety of different roles that or spots that could be available. I'm still pretty adamant. I get why they will advertise someone and just have them wave. But again, as a nostalgia fan, I don't want someone who did have an impact on me as a wrestling fan just be kind of resorted to, hi, I'm here, I'm just waving on TV. And I do think that if it's done well, it could really add credibility or just add something to a current storyline or current superstar, that it's almost just that nudge or that rub. And even if it's just in that little sense, it can make an impact with a fan who hasn't watched in a long time. And I also see this as a way to bring in fans who haven't watched in 10, maybe even 20 years. But it is a lot for one show. I see some of the other names on here, and especially in the era that we're in, what is a Godfather going to do? I mean, we are right in the middle of the women's revolution. And I mean, I know he's been on other shows before, but I also find it hilarious that he's still on these shows after we've done a lot of growth with women's wrestling and just women in general. I don't know. I'd even like to see more. And he did a little, but I think the last time he was on, his wife was there, and I forget what the guy, I think either one was hitting his wife or, you know, someone called his wife a hoe. I'm not sure. but even evolutions of characters, of people who maybe 20 years ago that character was one thing, but now in this modern times it translates into something else. Even that I can totally support because, you know, not everyone can be one-dimensional forever, and it also then kind of carries some of our older memories and fandom into a new generation. So I have hopes for it. I'm definitely going to be watching just because I love nostalgia. I love what this show can do, but it is a lot to pack in 3 hours, and I will prepare myself for some disappointment just because my expectations are set differently. And that's just being a wrestling fan, setting your expectations at a reasonable rate. I will be happy if they have a minimal amount of people just go out and wave. If they have people actually talk and interact and do things, I'll be happy, you know. But I also understand what this what this product is. And it's trying to appeal to a lot of people, and it won't always hit the mark on what I want, but it may hit the mark for somebody else. So we'll see if the ratings move up.
Yeah. Well, they will for the short term. That's for sure. We'll see what happens, in how they do it. But I think you're going to get that mix. I think you're going to get people that are out there for various reasons, some of which will interact with the modern stars, some of which won't. Like, I think that you're going to see you're going to kind of get that mix. And I just hope that they promote the right people and don't promote the wrong people. But you just never know what they're going to do. And you never know, like, you may hate what they do, and somebody else may love what they do. And
yes,
that's just, they're not going to make everybody happy. We're just hoping they make us happy.
Yes. And that is wrestling. You just want wrestling to make you happy. And if someone else doesn't like it, then they're dumb. Apparently, that's what I follow from the internet. Is that a pretty solid assumption?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're 100% right. If it's not on your playlist. It's funny you say that, because during your show, someone liked two of my tweets from May 9th, 2018. The same person liked two of my tweets from May 9th, 2018. And in reading one of them, man, someone really didn't like what I had to say on May 9th, 2018. Like, there's a lot of arguing back and forth that this person did. It's kind of funny to read through that. But again, some people, and it was about Roman Reigns being over when the person was arguing that he wasn't over. So, of course, that was pre-leukemia diagnosis. So it was cool to hate Roman Reigns back then. But I don't know why this person went digging through my tweets and got to May of 2019, 2018 either. That's weird. I think it's weird if you found something that I tweeted in May of 2019, let alone May of 2018. This is why social media is bad. This is why I want to get rid of it. So, yeah, it comes full circle. It just weirds me out. It really
sometimes
does.
People end up in rabbit holes. Maybe your Twitter was part of someone's rabbit hole where they just found it randomly.
You know how much you got to scroll to get to 2019 or 2018 of anything?
Yeah.
Like,
especially
it's
you.
Weird. But, yeah, and I also want to reply to the person and be like, why?
How
why
did you
like
this?
These tweets?
What were you doing?
How did you find this? And
I
like,
appreciate
do I need
the
to
support,
go in archive?
But why did you find this
like,
now?
Do I got to go in? Do I got to go in and archive my Twitter now? And so that all my old tweets are gone. Like, what do I got to do? Like, this is just strange to me. But, you know, I'll go to bed tonight and we'll think about it tomorrow. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. I do want to end this show with an idea that you, Greg, gave me from your show earlier tonight. So on the Greg DeMarco show, Greg gave us kind of a swerve. He presented Patrick with a topic, quote-unquote topic, but he changed it on us on the last minute. And I still want to do the original topic that you presented to us, even though it was a work. You worked us.
Right.
You got us all prepared for a topic that we didn't talk about at all. But I'm hoping to do this kind of quick draw style, because I think also this topic itself in a quick draw style is the most impactful and probably the funniest.
Okay.
So I'm going to change the verbiage a little bit just because I'm not sure what audience is out there who's listening to this show, but I know that, you know, some people, you know, maybe if you're younger, thanks, you know, appreciate the listening. I hope your parents are okay with this.
Now, you've used those words on the air before. So, just say it.
Say that again?
You've used that word on the air before. So.
I have. I also have. So, if you don't listen to those other shows. But I'm going to use it in the context of at least introducing the topic and then switch it up. But we are going to play an edition of Fuck, Marry, Kill. And I'm going to change Fuck to Shag because I saw that as a different iteration. And I thought it was funny. I like that. So we're going to change it to Shag, Marry, Kill. But not in the way that you think. Not just picking three random people and say, who would you shag, who would you marry, who would you kill. But we have some intentional questions behind this, and I'll ask each one of them, and then I'll present my thought, my person, and then Greg will. So it's shag, marry, kill on its head in a wrestling related sense. And the way that you presented it, Greg, it is for the good of WWE, correct? This tell the listeners. So how is this framed? Like, is it you have to do it or else like WWE explodes like in a movie or something?
No, it wasn't that where they explode, but just because, you know, it seems to be universally accepted that they're bad. And so everybody wants to talk about what they would do better. The design, of course, I never intended for us to do it, was to basically say you're going to fix WWE by doing these three things. And obviously those are the shag, marry, and kill, and what those mean. I don't know if you want me to define them or if you were planning on defining them, so I'm not going to steal your thunder, so to speak.
Well, I'll define them, but these are the words of Greg DeMarco. So it's almost like an audible book. Like I'm reading the book of Greg DeMarco. Can I do that when you like write your autobiography? Can I be the person who like?
I am not going to write an autobiography, but I recently saw that Brian Alvarez put out a book that was like 100 things WWE fans must do, which is really funny because he hates WWE. Number one, so why would he write that book? But I think he really doesn't hate WWE. He just does it because it's cool. And number two, Patrick and I have talked for years about writing a book, a wrestling book. And after seeing that, I was like, we got to write this book. Like we, whatever book we're going to write, we got to do it because if this idiot can, so can we.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's kind of where I'm at. So yeah, now, and I'll somehow rope you in as well. We're going to write a wrestling book. I don't know what about or when, but we're going to.
So first on the shag portion of this game, who would you push right away? Hot shot to the main event, even if it hurts their long-term drawing power. So who is the person, you know, who you want to shag, who you're ready for, who you want to get it on with, or in this case, just, you know, push to the top.
Right.
And when I was
but
thinking about
like,
this, the first person that came
to
mind.
That, just to jump in and define that real quick. Well, just to define that, that's kind of like the one night stand. There's no relationship there. And they're going to get hot shotted in a couple of months. They're like gone from the company. So that's, you know, it's crash and burn. Like you're going to push them, they're going to get over, and they're going to be gone.
I mean, that kind of changes. I'm going to say someone is not a good fit for this particular category, but just, you know, straight off the mouth, who the first person I thought of in this would be Samoa Joe. And now that I want him to leave, but I think that he has that drawing power, and he's the type of person, at least his history in WWE, is that you have to strike when the iron is hot with him. That if you pull away from him at any given moment, his storylines, his credibility just gets shot, and it takes a while to build him back up when he has all of the elements of a really successful wrestler, and he can be in the main event, and he should be in the main event, and he could be an awesome heel and an awesome champion and really help whoever he is working with catapult them as well to the top. But I think he's just this fantastic wrestler, and he works well with so many different personalities and different types of wrestlings and just different people that I'm surprised they haven't utilized him more. And I do feel like he's the type of person you have to use him now, or else he just kind of falls back and you got to pull him up and then falls back. So I definitely believe that, in the shag portion, it would be Samoa Joe.
It's fine because basically it's like you're going to push them now at the expense of their long-term growth and development. I don't think they see him that way. I really don't. Like, I just think they see him as the guy they can put in when they need to, and it'll work, and then they don't – but I don't think they see him as a long-term
– Well, they're wrong, and they're stupid, and they're dumb.
I agree. Now, he has to have a stupid haircut that he needs to get rid of, but besides that – you know, there's that problem too. But so I picked Bobby Lashley was my choice for this because I think Bobby Lashley, if used properly, can do very well for them, but I don't think he can be a long-term anything anyway. So to me, it was Bobby Lashley. I think you can get a good short-term return on your investment with Bobby Lashley, but I don't think that you're going to get anything, anything longer than a short program out of him in terms of really drawing money.
And that's a really good pick.
And I think your Samoa Joe pick, honestly, kind of falls in the same category. I think that was a good pick as well to fit that description.
Apparently we have a type.
I guess so. Yeah. Big dudes who don't do anything.
Fine with me. Hey, I'm not mad at it. The next category is Mary. Who would you build around for years to come and make the foundation of the company? Greg, can you elaborate a little bit?
Yeah, so basically it's who you think, you know, can do exactly what you said, like who you can build around for years. This is your Bret Hart, your Shawn Michaels, your Hulk Hogan, your John Cena, your Roman Reigns, even your Seth Rollins, like that kind of person who have proven that they can do, they can be at the top of the company for a sustained period of time. And who, you know, now could you put in that position? Build them up a little bit longer. So you hot shot. Bob, do you want me to give my answer so I can explain it?
Yeah.
Okay. So I would hot shot Bobby Lashley so that during that 3, 4, 5 months, the hot shot is, then they're gone, so I can use that time to build Andrade to where Andrade can be at the top of the company for a long period of time. Because to me, you push him right and you focus on him right where he's not just feuding with Apollo Crews. He can actually draw money for a long period of time in the company. And this is nothing new out of me. We've all heard this before out of me. You've heard this out of me. Plenty of people have heard this out of me before. So I'll take the 4 or 5 months that I'm pushing Bobby Lashley before he loses all momentum and needs to go, and I'll use that to build Andrade as the guy for years to come.
And that's a really good pick. And that's right. You have been a really big advocate for Andrade. And, I mean, his performance has been consistent. His ability to just go in the ring, he's been really consistent and someone that you really could build around. So I think that's a fantastic choice. I have two, which is kind of cheating.
We play a little, game.
So whatever.
We play a quick little game. I want to jump in. I'll play a little game.
Okay.
This for me. Okay, I'm going to say why I want to do this with Andrade. But when I pause, you have to say Andrade. We've done this before. But we did it on my show. Now you do it on your show. So,
okay.
And I'll keep it a little short. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
So the reason why I've selected
Andrade
is because I believe that
Andrade
has all the tools. He's got the look. Even though he doesn't cut the best promos, he conveys emotion in his promos, and he's got the manager in. If you throw this one in there,
Zelina,
who can definitely speak for him. And I think if you put all those things together, you put a great storyline focus around him. Maybe someday you involve Charlotte, maybe you don't, but it doesn't matter because he has all the tools to do this. And of course, you know, pronouns, pal. He is none other than
Andrade.
That's all. Okay. Thank you.
I use my ring announcer voice for that.
Yeah. That goes full circle to other things that aren't on the air. So, yeah, I'll take it. Good job. Good job. Yeah,
so, back to my Mary portion. I mentioned I have two picks, and it's, you know, not in the rules per se, but it's my show, so whatever.
Your show.
Of course. In multiple aspects of my life, I would pick Finn. And I think it's because he is someone who you could really build good programs around. And for some reason, WWE has put him in and out as well. Kind of similar to Samoa Joe, where they'll push him up and then something will happen and he'll come in and in out. And I felt like if they were a little bit more consistent with him, then they really could elevate him. I mean, he has the look. He has, you know, the support of the fans. I understand he may not be super strong on the mic, but his capabilities and his wrestling speak for itself. Really, it does. And people are just drawn to someone like him that still has personality without having to kind of, you know, be super flashy. And I mean, those camera angles. So that's what I watch Raw. So I'm not going to lie. I had Raw in the background yesterday, and I was in my room, like, moving, organizing some stuff, and I hear Finn's entrance, and I waddle, like, run to the TV so I can get my shot.
That's pretty funny.
So, anyways, but my other answer for this is also someone from NXT, and that's Aleister Black. And I do think that with this kind of reboot with him, he could really be a very interesting character, whether they have him as a heel or a face. I think that his personality is a little bit darker and a little bit more sinister, but can really be a good foil to anybody that he is in a program with. But on top of that, of course, his athletic ability, there's just a lot to him that I think we only know the surface of. And if the company really decided that they wanted to have someone different, I can understand look-wise, it's a very unique look, and maybe it's not commercial like Roman Reigns, but... Hold on. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Sorry, my headphones just died and we're just moving along. But I think that...
We can hear you just fine.
Perfect. So he may have a different look that's not commercial, but if he were to be in some high profile programs, again, he could be a great foil for anybody that he is up against. And we're also living in a time where there is no big normal. There's no, you know, the archetype of a wrestler looks different now. An archetype of a person looks different. And when people see other people that they can relate to, connect to, whether it's style and music, you can draw in a bigger audience. So I do think that if they were to put him in that scenario, he can even bring in a different fan base.
Yeah, I definitely think he can. I agree with you 100%. And I think he's a good choice. I think both of those are good choices, you know, even though – we know why you pick Finn Balor. Like, I think he's proven that he can do way more than they're using him for. And I think Aleister Black has, like, a certain element of real to him. And I think that's possible. He was one of the people that I suggested when you asked me about Brock Lesnar back when people couldn't hear me. And you know, one of the people that I suggested could beat Brock Lesnar believably because of the Black Mass finisher. It can truly take out anybody. And I think that Lesnar is the kind of guy that he could get over with. So I think those are great choices.
And now our final category is kill. Who would you get rid of today with no storyline or on-air reason given to do so?
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah.
So it's going to be a surprising answer just based on some of the picks I've made in the past and things that I've said in the past when we do our pay-per-view predictions. And it's just, but kind of, I look at it where it is today. This was not an easy choice to make either. Like, I don't think there's anybody they have to get rid of right now, but I had to pick one. And so I did. And like I said, you'll be surprised based on some prior picks. I'd get rid of Drew McIntyre.
Wow, that is a surprise.
I just don't think it's going to happen with him. I really don't. Like, I just, you know, the more I watch him work, the more I watch his presence, it feels forced to me. And forced doesn't work in WWE. I mean, the one reason why Baron Corbin has gotten over finally through everything that he's done is because it seems more natural and more relaxed. And to me, that's what is working for him and hasn't happened for Drew McIntyre. And I just feel like McIntyre has been a professional wrestler far longer than a Baron Corbin has. And I just don't think it's going to click for him in WWE. I think he'll be a good fit elsewhere, but I don't think he's going to be happy being a lower level guy. And I think that's what he is. He's a muscle. He's somebody who can't be that top guy. And I think that's what he wants to be. And I think in all honesty, long-term, he's going to have to do that somewhere else than WWE. So yeah, I honestly, it's hard pick to make in general because it's hard to even single somebody out. So I would be okay if they didn't get rid of this guy. But, yeah, I picked Drew McIntyre.
And on a similar note, same thing. It's not that I would want anyone to leave. But the first person that came to mind and kind of similar reasoning to yours was Dolph Ziggler. And I also think it's because he's been so in and out of the picture the past few years that the fans seem to care less and less. That it's almost frustrating that he's had storylines like that. That big storyline he had with The Miz, and you really felt like connected to what he was saying about his career, and almost the fact that he, you know, if he lost that match, he was going to quit. People were so invested, but then turning around in another storyline and dropping was it the United States title.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot, but
yeah, it was
kind of dropping that title. Like, I just felt like he's been, his character itself has been so inconsistent. And the more he's in and out of the picture, the less people seem to care, because everything that he's really tried to fight for, especially earlier on in his career, seems to diminish with every time he leaves and re-enters the WWE now. And I know it's, you know, more because he has other things going on and he has that flexibility. But at the same time, I feel less invested in him every single time he comes back, because it's almost like the boy who cried wolf in a way. How am I supposed to take you seriously and invest interest in you when you just leave and come back almost without any rhyme or reason? He does a phenomenal job, though, in all the programs that he does, though. More on as a heel, I do think as a heel, he is better equipped with just in his promos and his style than a face. So that's, I guess, with an asterisk with this, I would totally get rid of face Ziggler, because I don't care about face Ziggler at all. But heel Ziggler will always kind of have a place as a good foil for a face. And I know it is kind of odd we choose these two, because they were together in a team and then they were, you know, in a program against each other, and I didn't really care about it. To be honest, I didn't, and that was a face Ziggler move. I just didn't care, and it was supposed to elevate Drew, and I don't really think it did.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's so funny that we picked Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre, just because that's how McIntyre came in. The only thing that sucks about this is that it has to be immediate, no storyline reason whatsoever, and she's hurt anyway, but I feel like the big money intergender match wasn't Nia Jax versus Dean Ambrose. It was Nia Jax versus Dolph Ziggler, because he did throw the super kick at the Royal Rumble, and I don't know if that'll ever happen. I'll be honest with you. I think Ziggler's one of the guys who'd be totally down to do it, and I'd love to see it, especially because he'd have no problem putting her over. But at the same time, just with her injury and everything, and who knows when he's going to be back and when he's gone. He's an enhancement guy, and he knows it, and he's fine with it. But, yeah, if he were gone, I wouldn't miss him at all.
And, well, that leaves us with the end of another edition of the Hashtag Miranda Show. We did run a little over today, but there was just so much to talk about with all of the events happening this past weekend. Raw reunion, Area 51, clickbait, really. But so much happening. Now, speaking of weekends, this weekend, if you are in the Tucson area, there are two wrestling shows that you definitely should check out. First, this Friday, it is Arizona Wrestling Federation presents Desert Destruction. And on Saturday at the Rialto Theater, Rockstar Wrestling Alliance will be having Dia de los Luchas, which is a very cool event, live band there, lots of lucha libre wrestling. So go ahead, support your local promotions. If you are in Arizona, come to Tucson, 2 days back-to-back wrestling. So definitely go check it out. Information is available on Facebook. Visit Arizona Wrestling Federation on social media or ArizonaWrestlingFederation.com. Rockstar Wrestling Alliance is on social media. Check them out on Facebook and I believe on Twitter. You can also go to the Rialto website to get ticket information. But Tucson is popping this weekend. So I'll be busy. I'll be watching. I'll be announcing wrestling this weekend. I don't know what y'all doing, but if you have a local wrestling promotion in your area, do yourself a favor and check them out. That is where you can get the surprises. That is where you'll get the wrestling that you enjoy. That is where you'll get to see people who love what they do, doing what they do. And hey, you never know, you may be seeing a future, you know, AEW star, a future WWE star. Maybe you see a former WWE star. Hey, it's all good. But wrestling is out there, not just on your TV, but in your own backyard. Not your literal backyard. That is not something that I can condone, because that can be dangerous. So leave it to the professionals and go watch your local wrestling promotion.
I think it's brilliant. I think yes, they should. Yes.
Thank you to my co-host Greg DeMarco. Greg, can you remind our lovely viewers where they can find you?
Yes, they can find me not in Tucson. I'm not there in Tucson, but they can find me on the Twitter at ChairShotGreg. Of course, they can go to thechairshot.com. You can listen to the Greg DeMarco show. All sorts of amazing things that they can do. I'm everywhere.
Everywhere. Just like, what was that, Michelle Branch song? Everywhere I see. No?
I don't. Maybe. I don't have it to play. I can tell you that.
Okay. Well, you can also follow The Chair Shot on Twitter at thechairshot.com. You can go on to thechairshot.com, again, for all of your latest wrestling news, opinions, and analysis. Great articles, great writers on The Chair Shot, so I highly recommend it. And it's wrestling from all over the gambit. Independent promotions, promotions, the big promotions, small promotions. I mean, New Japan, of course, it has the G1 right now. We didn't even get to talk about it because I can't wrap my head around what's happening at the G1 right now. It is a lot. So if you are a fan of professional wrestling, you should go check out thechairshot.com. And if you're a fan of wrestling t-shirts, don't forget to go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot to get a great t-shirt, soft style. I recommend soft style. It's breathable, it's comfortable, and of course it's soft.
I was fully converted to soft style. I won't even buy non-soft style at this point. So yeah. My life was changed forever.
Yes. I mean, what are you, a farmer? If you are a farmer, thank you for farming. But I mean, really, why not get a soft style t-shirt? You know,
if you're a farmer, thank you for farming.
It's kind of a playoff line from 30 Rock, Alec Baldwin, famous line.
Is it? I don't know.
Yes, I'll have to.
What are you talking about?
I'll have to show it to you. But famous.
I mean,
line.
Yeah, you did. You did bring this in.
Wild card, bitches.
So there is that.
Oh, yeah. I have to educate you on all the best shows out there, because
apparently
none of them.
I don't. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just an idiot on a computer, just like everyone else on Twitter.
You said it, not me.
Yes, I did. By the way, you know who really said it? That's at WRESTLNGREALIST. It's the Wrestling Realist. Patrick O'Dowd. Tweet him your Area 51 memes. Tell him, make fun of him. Tweet him pictures of Funko Pops that he'll never get. The only Funko Pops he has is the one I sent him. And yeah, just do it.
Double
do
points
it.
If you find any Area 51 Funko Pops.
I'm sure those are coming. I mean, it's just Funko Pops are quicker than WWE with the pop culture. So yeah.
That is true.
I'm Googling right now to see if there are any. So,
we can't go back. We've opened Pandora's box and
I found Area 51.
Area 51.
There's a bobblehead. Found a bobblehead for Area 51. $25, $26 on eBay, which we did the eBay episode once on your show. What is this? Wait a minute. Is there one? What is this? No, it's just other Funko Pops.
No.
I'm sure there are. I'm sure listeners will jump into it and find out. But
yes,
yeah,
if you know
I'm
of
not
any,
finding any right now.
Let us know on social media. I am not on Twitter, but you can find me on Facebook, Miranda Morales. Feel free to add me as a friend. Feel free to message me. And we're also always open to suggestions, especially for the hashtag Miranda Writes. We throw those in every so often, but those are essentially demands that I make out of Greg as to things he must do on this show. Sometimes I make him say silly things. Sometimes I make him tweet silly things. Sometimes I take his rights away because it is my show. And I can do what I want. I do what I want with this. So if you have an interesting idea for a future hashtag Miranda Writes, please feel free to let us know, myself on Facebook or Greg on Twitter.
Yeah, and your name's Miranda, so why wouldn't you have Miranda Writes? Like, it's just perfect.
It's literally my name.
Yeah, literally.
Literally.
100%. Yeah.
Literally. Anyways, the madness has ensued for long enough. Thank you, everyone, for listening this week. We will be back, and I hope you all have a fantastic week. Don't forget to go support your local wrestling promotions. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. Stay fresh, stay fly, stay you.
Stay fly, that's so good. Forever's gonna start tonight. Forever's gonna start tonight. Once upon a time I was falling in love. And now I'm only falling apart. Nothing I can do, a total eclipse of the heart.